What is up, Knoll Nation? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Jesse. That's Michael. Glad to be back with you to talk about some football. It's springtime, Michael. Football is getting ready to kick off. It's spring break right now, though, so we got to wait a week. But tour duty workouts just wrapped up, and so that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Lots of positives coming out of here. Lots of news. Just kind of, you know, reading between the lines, taking the tea leaves from what the beat writers have put out, the guys who got to watch it from the coaches' press conferences. Coach Storms also talked to the media. Just kind of getting us up to speed on where the 2024 roster is at. And so far, man, I think it's really positive. There's a lot of good things to be excited about with this team. And so that's what we're going to get into today. So first off, let's just start with some overall thoughts on the process. You know, this is... First off, you got to say this is just a physical workout, man. This isn't football practice. Right. There's no pads. There's not really a ton you can take as far as the X's and O's aspects out of this. It's just really right. What guys look like, what they come into the spring session, you know, physicality-wise. You know, you can tell, you can always tell who has been working out and who hasn't. But I will say one thing that Coach Storm said is how they basically ended the season January 1st, and they got right back into workouts January the 9th. So they really didn't have time to get out of shape. And so my overall thoughts, when I look at this, the film that we watched and the takeaways that we have, is just, man, that talent floor continues to be elevated. And this is something that we have repeatedly talked about. Now, as far as on the field stuff, that's going to remain to be seen. But just in the size and athleticism of the guys that you have on your roster. And, you know, there's the old saying, man, that it's the X's and O's or the Jimmys and the Joes. And sometimes.
That's right.
Just got to have dudes. You just got to go out there
and dudes.
And I think that's where Florida State is getting now. You're starting to get these athletes that come in and they look like they belong in Power Five college football. And so that goes from incoming guys, that goes to the guys already on the roster and the transfers coming in too. I like the work ethic that they're putting forward. And I mean, this isn't fun, man. These are not fun times. If any of you ever played football, we were talking about this, you know, 2 days in the heat and all that stuff. It's rough. You find out what you're made of during these types of events. But so far, it's been all positive news from what we've seen. And I'll let you share some overall thoughts and we'll kind of get into a few other notes that we have here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about, you think about that era between, you know, let's say 2018 to 2022. I mean, you just didn't see the type of guys we're seeing now. You know, the talent started dipping, the recruiting started dipping, and the development, you know, and that, no offense to the previous strength and conditioning coaches that were here at Florida State, but now we got grown men that are playing this game. I mean, you just look at just the transformation. You know, there's a reason why Florida State fans, why we love the moniker Built by Storms. I mean, you saw it play out in the combine, and you're seeing it play out here again. You saw some players that came in, you know, who were early enrollers, who were skinnier than a pogo stick, and now they look like big old tanks. I mean, that's a matter of a couple of months. And so, you know, credit to Coach Storms and that strength and conditioning program that they do every year. I like to call it Todd, you know, tour of duty there. It has a lot of that military element to it. And I mean, we were talking about this, and I remember, you know, hot Florida summers, two-a-days, just grueling in the weight room that has no air conditioning whatsoever. Coaches barking at your face and everything. It really does not only just builds your body and your conditioning, but it tests your mentals, man, how you endure when the challenge, you know. Mike Norvell said it in his press conference that the idea of this is to create a challenge every step of the way, because as we saw this past season, when the going got tough, Florida State was able to rise above it unlike any other team it faced because of what it did during the summer, during these spring workouts. And the other thing was, Mike Norvell said that this tour of duty sets up spring practices. You're literally setting the tone for how those next 15 days are going to go. And so I'm excited to see how this translates into the practice and then how that translates going and heading into the fall. But, man, got some grown men on the field there.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, when you talk about the down years.
Yeah.
It was kind of like you had six or eight guys on the team that you were excited about.
Right.
Now it's like you got six or eight guys at each position group that you're excited about.
Right.
So it's just a big difference. But like you said, this is one where you build mental toughness. You find out about people's work ethic. You know, how much do you want it? when there's nothing on the line, the doors are closed, nobody's watching, and it's just you and your teammates and your coaches, and they're pushing you, and they push you right. hard. And that's something that they repeatedly talked about, not only with Storms and Coach Norvell, where they're like, look, we push them hard because we have right. high standards and we have high expectations. And that's why when people ask, you know, in the media members, they ask about the combine results. They're like, look, it's not a surprise. It's not at all a surprise because
they're
of
not
what
shocked.
Right. It started with what they did in Tallahassee. And another thing that I like about the way they relate that is Coach Storms even mentioned when they were in the middle of their workouts and they had the combine stuff on the TV, you know, guys would stop and watch that and they would cheer and rally for their guys.
That's awesome.
But it also shows the proof of concept. Like, yep. you don't want to go out and do this, but you see where it can get you down the line.
Absolutely.
And so it's motivation for you to keep pushing. And Absolutely. that is what is really standing out here. And I think it just helps set that standard.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm going to kind of compare it to here, and you know, you hate to give them too much credit, but this might be changing on the horizon. We'll see. But you know, you hear a lot of things about the Bama standard
yes.
and just, you know, I mean, look, it is what it is. They won 6 national titles. They didn't.
Exactly.
They didn't just luck into 6 national titles.
Right.
You knew when you came in to a program like Alabama that there was a standard you had to hold yourself to, and
yep.
you would not be part of the program if you weren't.
That's right.
And I think that you're seeing Florida State lay that foundation to build that same standard in Tallahassee, because yep. now you have guys. This is something that Norvell talked about as well, where you come in. And of course, there's guys who have never been through tour duty that it's a challenge. It's a right. hard workout. But you have guys that come in, they don't come in out of shape. They know the standard that's set. They don't want to be the guy that lags right. behind. They want right. to be the guy that sets the example. So you're getting to that level now. You're getting Alabama transfers that are coming in and saying, this is tough, man. This is hard right. work. So I really do think Florida State is getting themselves to that level. We're not dancing at practice anymore.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean?
That's
they're
right.
sweating. They're working. Like, it's, you know, it's hard work. And so I think they are setting that standard. And I also think when you look at the gains from year over year, just looking at size, strength, and numbers, that's something that Coach Storms talked about, in particular with a guy like Daryl Jackson, which we'll talk about when we get to the defensive side of things,
right.
where you look at his results from last year to this year, and it's almost night and day, just the,
right.
the work ethic and what they've done in the weight room. That speaks to the strength and conditioning staff, the development process that they have in place at Florida State, where you see high school recruits from year one to year two, Hakeem Williams, great
yes,
example,
yes.
where they take a physical jump that is off the charts. That's a night and day difference. Again, look at Josh Farmer. I'm trying to think, his name slipped me. He was like a 245-pound linebacker when he came to Tallahassee. Now he's a 315-pound monster.
Jeez.
So you see that. They also see transfers come in and make these big jumps physically and on the field. So again, it speaks to the development that
right.
they have. And so I think just at the end of the day, with some overall thoughts, you look at competition breeds excellence. And
that's
this
right.
is one of those where you have competitive depth now at Tallahassee. And that's really the big difference to me between now and years past, where you have so many guys that can push each other for a starting role. It's not so much where, like, you have the ones way up here and then the twos are kind of
right.
close. And then the threes are like a basement floor. Now
right.
it's like like we talked about, you got 6-8 guys at every position that are pushing each other, and that's what makes you better. And so Norvell even talked about players who did great things in college. They're doing things in the NFL. When he talks to them years later, they bring up tour duty.
Yep.
And so this is that kind of make and break type of workout to find out what you got. And like you said, it sets up really good in the spring to where you could hit the ground running.
Yep.
It's not only just physical work. They do some skill work too.
Yep.
So they are able to work on things like footwork for the quarterbacks and things like that. So you do get a little bit of extra work. They're just not allowed to have a football right now.
Right.
So they find creative ways to do it. But I think the thing that was on display most from what we got to see, the one day that you kind of got to watch tour duty, is one, this team has some speed
Oof.
Now, and I Oof. Can't wait to see it. And they also have some power. I mean, like you said, they got some grown dudes, but it's also functional strength. I mean, there's
yeah.
one thing to come out here and just bench a lot and add mass.
Right.
It's about how you carry it. It's about
right.
how, you know, you can bulk up, but if it makes you slow, it doesn't do you any good. You need
right.
to have functional strength. And that's something that I think they have done well with, you know, just with the development from the strength and conditioning staff.
Yeah.
So that's really some of my overall thoughts, is just building that power and strength and knowing how to use it at the same time.
Yeah. And it's not just like you said, it's functional strength. It's the kind of strength that you're going to be able to leverage in the type of ways you're going to be used on a football field with the offensive lineman, defensive lineman, getting up under those other guys across from you in the trenches, right? Wide receivers not being pushed off their routes, but being able to break through their routes, safeties, linebackers hitting, right? Running backs going through a hole. Like that strength, that power makes sense in light of what they're going to be asked to do. And it's not just straight line speed. It's not just like, you know, you get on the block and you run 40 yards and yay, you're fast. No, it's like shifty speed. It's like getting in and out of cuts. It's like, you know, making maneuvers, getting off when the ball is snapped, if you're a defensive lineman, getting into your stands fast enough if you're an offensive lineman. You know, all those, that power and speed matters in the context of how they're being leveraged. And I think what Coach Storms and that crew are doing is incredible. And then to add on top of that, I mean, you just think about, again, you think about how this plays out itself. Now, you know, we talked about this in the pre-show. It's like, yeah, this is a workout. Like, this is not going to really tell us a lot about wins and losses, right? W's and L's. But what it can tell us is that when it comes down to crunch time, when it comes down to making the play, you know, old Jimbo Fisher attic, the play don't care who make it. Well, tour of duty helps us to figure out who's going to be the better team when the crunch time comes. And I mean, my money's always on Florida State because we've seen it over and over again.
Right. And I think it really just comes down to, yes, there are obviously what you got to do in pads and practice.
Right.
But sometimes you just got to line up and the guy across from you.
That's
You know, you take like Mike Tyson, for instance. That guy is a professionally trained boxer. If I go in the ring with him for 30 seconds, I'm dead. But if you put him in
the ring. I'm so glad that you gave yourself 30 seconds. I gave myself like a half a sec.
That's after I jumped out of the ring, ran a couple laps. He caught me, killed me, and then got back in and ding, ding, ring the bell. But at the same time, like if you put him in the ring with like a silverback gorilla, he's gonna crush him. So
that's
at some point, you just gotta have dudes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we've got as a program now. And I also think one more thing, talking about functional strength, this is what we just talked about on the last episode with Keon Coleman.
That's right.
Where you have a guy who didn't have a very impressive 40 time, but he ran the fastest per hour in the gauntlet drill. So it's functional strength, it's functional speed, and that's what matters the most. And that's what you can rely on in a game-type situation. Now, you know what else you can rely on, Michael?
Oh, come on. Tell me.
That is today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. They got all the gear you need. So go check them out at their location in Tallahassee, 1415 Timber Lane Road, or you can shop online, Alumni Hall FSU. Navigate over to the Florida State page, pick you out some new gear. You know, the spring game's coming up.
That's right.
We're going to have to sit on the sunny side of the stadium. The shade is under construction. Yeah, you're going to need a hat, so go check them out. Use code SPEAR to get 10% off. And again, we appreciate you guys for supporting those that support us. So now let's kind of talk about some observations from offense and defense. We'll start with the offense. Just some guys that we saw through the tape and through what we read and the cliff notes and things like that that we were able to take from this. So starting on offense, obviously you'll start with the most important position on the field, and that's quarterback. Kind of, we really got our first look at DJU in a physical atmosphere. We've seen him just walking around and stuff in pictures, but you get to see him in action. And man, it's a big dude. I mean, he's 6'4", 250, 260 pounds. He's massive. He's got tree trunks for legs. And I think that's what really stood out. And, you know, I kind of have to sidebar here because Sonone from 247 put out a clip of where he was running the circle drill. Now, first off, I watched a lot of the clips and stuff. And there wasn't many people that looked overly fast in that circle drill because, you know, you're not straight line speed, but people were talking about he's big and he's slow and all that. Well, I mean, first off, the guy can throw the ball 80 yards. I don't care if he's fast. Tom Brady has, 16,000 Super Bowl rings and probably runs like a 6 flat 40.
Eight flat 40.
Right. So, why even run the 40? So, that doesn't necessarily matter. Jordan Travis was quick. That's a different type of speed. DJ used a strider. When you have that length of legs and you're that tall, you stride. You cover ground quickly.
Right.
And not to mention, because the Miami fans came out of the woodwork and tried to poke fun at DJU for being slow and all that. Look, the thing is, At 6 foot four, 6 foot five, 250, 260 pounds, he's just going to put his shoulder down and truck your ass.
Yep.
And it's just going to happen. And, you know, they talk about DJU. Meanwhile, the last time he played Miami, he ran, he threw for 230 yards and two touchdowns and sack adjusted per PFF, ran for 110 yards and another touchdown, averaged 7.9 yards per carry. That's 340 all-purpose yards and three touchdowns.
Breach.
So, you know, save it. We'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, and, you know, Cam Ward's throwing ducks in the spring, and they're bragging about crazy one-hand catches when it's like, that was a kind of a terrible throw.
I tell you what, I bet you knows how to take a knee too.
Right, which he probably won't get to do that in Miami because it's not in their playbook.
That's right.
I saw they were talking about like the new NCAA 25, and it's like, I think you sent that to me where Miami doesn't have the quarterback kneel in the playbook. So it's hilarious. But, I mean, that aside, it's just it's funny how it's like the preseason talk, you know. But DJU, we didn't expect him to come in and look like Jordan Travis running around. We expected him to be a big, strong, powerful runner.
Correct.
He's run the ball successfully throughout his career, so we're not worried about that. I'm sure he's probably got to get in, you know, because he didn't play in the bowl game, so he's been off for a little bit. So he's going to have to get back in shape and stuff like that, and that's what the tour duty's for. But I think he looks good. I think he moves well. I think he looks more powerful than I imagined. And then when you talk about the guys behind him, Brock Glenn, this is another guy that I really like. They have said that he's bulked up a lot. Josh Storms even said, when you see him at first, you think that he's a linebacker. But then you realize he's a quarterback. And this is a guy that he just has an amazing work ethic. He's already showing the traits of being a leader. He's a guy who coaches guys in practice. And I think Brock Glenn, and you could also put Luke Kromenhawk in this conversation as well, a guy that he's still very, very young.
Yeah.
Obviously, he has great size. He's tall and he has a good frame, but he carries it well. He moves well. He's probably going to need another this year to develop.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think what you look at with Brock Glenn is you just see the signs of development coming.
That's right.
And so you know that, again, we call it a quarterback competition. We know DJU is most likely going to win. But this is a guy that going forward, you like what you see after this year. He will be the guy that can step into that role. So overall, I'm really happy with what we saw out of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, listen, you know,
I will say, I think you're in a better position, surprisingly, depth-wise, this year than you were last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's going to be an adjustment for all of us, right? I mean, we've had 2.5 incredible years of Jordan Travis.
Right.
But the thing is, he's a different type of quarterback. So to compare him to DJU, I think it's unfair to say that, oh, DJU is much slower, we're going to have problems. It's a different type of quarterback. And I believe, I trust that Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins and Tony Togarath, they're going to adjust that offense to accommodate for DJU's strengths and his weaknesses. So you know that's going to be set up. Again, we don't need a quarterback that can hit you in the shift of a phone booth and then take off on you in a split time. We have those shifty receivers and those running backs going to take care of a lot. We need a guy that can pick up, you know, third and one and fourth and two, you know, on the butt push or whatever they're calling. We need that guy. That's the guy we need now who can run, who can lower his shoulder and throw the ball 80 yards down the field and connect in those deep passes, because we're going to have some burners on the outside. We're going to have some shifters on the inside. We're going to have running backs who are gonna be able to get the ball in space and do some things with it. And so I'm excited for what I saw of DJU. You know, I know we haven't talked about this yet. He had a little injury on his non-throwing hand, but it doesn't seem to be affecting his workout. So we'll keep an eye on that. But and then Luke Kromenhawk, oh my gosh, like I was saying, he looks so much bigger than when we saw him, you know, during the Orange Bowl practices. I mean, he's like you said, he's got a year or two of development getting in the offense. And so, you know, I think he's on his way. And then, of course, Brock Glenn. Yes, my goodness. You see the leadership, you see the growth, you see all that. Plus, he has the experience of playing in the ACC Championship, playing in the Orange Bowl. I mean, yes, we're all assuming that DJU is likely the starter, but man, I would not be surprised if Brock Glenn gives DJU a run for his money, which we want. We want Brock Glenn to make that kind of progress.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a lot of them this year too, just given last year's situation where you had one go down and the other guy didn't really seem ready to go. So I think you will see them use him more this year. And I think the other thing too, when you talk about Kromenhawk and how fast they get up to kind of that college level build, I really do think this is why, this is something I've always talked about with the transfer portal. You get guys that come in with a year or two in a college level strength and conditioning and nutrition program where, I mean, let's face it, high school is great. You have some really powerhouse high schools out there where these kids come from. Mm-hmm. They're not on a nutrition plan. The Correct. Strength and conditioning is not what it is in college. So you see them get up to speed quick.
That's right.
And yeah, I think when you talk about DJU, one thing I want to mention on that as well, that size makes him hard to bring down. That's why Absolutely. You don't see a ton of sack numbers either. I mean, you got to be a grown man to bring down someone who's 6'4", 250 pounds. And I know the news hasn't been kind to him lately, but you look at a guy like Cam Newton. Mm. I was looking it up earlier. His combine numbers, he was 6'4", 244 pounds. That sounds kind of familiar. And he ran a 4.5 240, not blazing fast, but that's a guy that you know went on to have a great career in college, won a national championship, and all that stuff.
Put his whole team on his back and won a national championship.
Exactly. And he was one of those guys. He wasn't fast, but he was a strider. He always looked so much slower than what he
really
covered ground. So again, you don't have to be a speedster at quarterback. You get a guy in DJU that has a mobile ability, but can also throw the ball. And so that's something that I really like as well. But looking over at the running backs, kind of going through here. So I think they're going to go to running back by committee anyway. So we're just going to touch on the guys anyway. There's not really one lead guy standing out right now. But you have Roydell Williams comes in from Alabama. He got a shout out as well from the coaches where, again, these guys come in, they know how to work. They were at Alabama. They know the standard that they were held to there. They come in, they know what's expected of them, and they're in good shape. Right. They said he went through the drills great. He moves very well. He looks as advertised. He is what you wanted him to be. To a Philly, it's nice to see him out and being healthy and a full participant because we know he missed the Orange Bowl after having a surgery to clean up an injury. So it's just good to know that he's back at what appears to be 100%. Cam Davis, just a human muscle. I mean, this guy, like, I don't know how much he's going to play at a freshman. I hope it's a lot because I want to see what this guy has. I mean, I got a really good feeling about what he's going to be in the future. And then I think you also have Keziah Holmes is a guy that maybe got overlooked last year because he didn't get a lot of touches, but he looks a little bit slim down this year. He's a very kind of a gadget all-purpose back that I really like. And also one guy that I will throw in there that's kind of we almost don't think of him as a running back, but that's Jalen Lucas. Now, when you see him, you're like, you're looking down. Where is he? I can't see him on the camera because he's so small. I mean, he's 5'8", but we knew that coming in. But at the same time, man, you see the elite level speed and the quickness. Like you want to talk about speed versus quickness.
Oof.
That guy's quick, and you can just see his lateral movement and the things that he does in the drills. That's going to be a guy that's exciting at the running back position. So I think you have so many positions groups now that are getting deep, and running back is one of those.
Yeah. Oh, man. You just look at that room and you just think, my goodness, it's probably one of the deepest, if not the deepest we've had in, I'm going to say 10 years.
A long time.
I mean, it's been a while. I mean, Cam Davis, Toll Feely, Keziah Holmes, Sam Singleton, who we forget, who was a top player coming out of the high school last year. I mean, you just keep going down the line. And then you add Roydell, to that mix. And, you know, I don't know how David Johnson and Mike Norvell and those guys are going to decide who gets playing time, whatever. But yeah, to see Cam Davis like in person, finally, like you saw him on Twitter, you saw his highlights and stuff, but to see him after a few months into FSU strength and conditioning program, I mean, my gosh, his biceps are bigger than my head. Like it's so wild. It's crazy. And I'm just really excited to see that whole group. And I'm sure Norvell's going to find a way. They're going to find a way to get a lot of those guys. I would, right now at least, just based off of workouts. Again, this is just workouts. But I would be shocked if Cam Davis doesn't find some way on the field in an offensive set this season.
Right. I think so, too. I think they'll find a way to get him on the field. And here's the other thing, too. You don't know who's going to be in the boat after the spring. So we have to wait on that part, too. Speaking of a crowded but talented position group, that is wide receiver. Ooh. And some of the names that stood out here, first off, we kind of both hit it here with our five players poised for a breakout season episode that we did. Make sure you guys go check that out if you haven't watched it. My number one was Malik Benson. And this is the guy that I feel like kind of stole the show a little bit from the receiver group. Now, one of your guys was very kind of highly praised as well. We'll talk about him in a second. But I think Malik Benson, he is as advertised. He comes in. You knew he was a burner. You knew he had that speed.
Yeah.
But I think what's even more impressive, because when you watch him move, he is the fast guy on the field. He stands out as the speedy guy who moves very well. He's a very fluid type of receiver. Yeah. I think one thing that really stands out, too, is his leadership. He is a guy that comes in as a transfer. And let's face it, man, this is a guy that not only he transferred from JUCO into Alabama, then Alabama into Florida State. So you could see where, like, maybe it's hard to emerge as a leader. But they said that he was in the front of every line, coaching everybody up, and also just the physical shape that he's in. They said, like, basically this was just kind of water off his back. He wasn't tired. Like, he went through the entire day and never really got gassed. So I think that's really what you want to see, because one of the things that we questioned about the wide receiver group was, because you lost so many people, it wasn't a talent thing. We thought they had a lot of talent. It was who's going to step up and be the leader? Who's going to be that wide receiver one? And I think Malik Benson has a really good opportunity to step into that role.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm going to go ahead and tip my cap to someone who really stood out on a film that I watched that was one of your breakout player candidates of the year, and that is Hakeem Williams. You know, you look back to last year. There was a little bit of a knock. He kind of got lost in spring, came in a little bit out of shape, wasn't really embracing the workouts. That's even something that Jordan Travis talked about at the combine, how he was just kind of, you know, like, oh, this hurts, that's nagging me. And you think he's just matured now. He's taken that step. And it's weird to talk about players like this, but like, his body looks great, man. He looks like he is toned up, slimmed down a little bit, but he's still got that massive frame. He just carries it really well right now.
Yeah, I think he was able to get the muscle in the right places.
Yep.
He started taking very seriously the workout and the mentality, the standard that Mike Norvell talks about. And that's when you start to see him break out in the games last season. Once he finally took that serious, you started to actually see him have significant and meaningful snaps. And then, of course, you know, he had the touchdown run there. I think that was against Syracuse, which was like, it kind of like opened everybody's eyes, like, oh, this boy's a dog. He's going to be something. And then, of course, he had the midseason injury that kind of hampered that. But again, he's coming back again. And in the videos I watched of him, my goodness, you know, his body looks better. His mentality looks better. Leadership wise, he's sticking. He's putting his voice out there. You know, I really believe he's going to be a breakout candidate. Again, this is just workouts, but just based off the workouts, he's already showing that breakout potential, that he's going to step up. You know, we'll see what happens when he puts the pads on and they start getting hit and stuff like that. But man, I'm excited for Hakeem Williams.
Yeah, I think the thing with Hakeem too is so many people, maybe until they saw him in workouts, you just kind of forgot you had him in a way because like, that was an elite level talent when you got him out of high school, and now you've shaped him into a college ready player.
Yeah,
and we saw the flashes last year, but you bring in the flashy new toys, the Malik Benson, the Jalen Browns. You bring in all these guys, and you think, okay, well, we got a lot of top-level players that we just brought in. You already had a really, really good one on your roster. You just kind of forgot about him. And so I think, man, if he can have a breakout year, like I saw someone had tweeted out where it's like two of the really high-praised guys were Daryl Jackson and Hakeem Williams. And one of the things that I shared that with the comment on, if those two guys have a breakout season, Florida State's going to have a very special year because you need Daryl Jackson to have that.
Yes.
And then Hakeem, I don't know that you were expecting that, but if he has that type of breakout year, that's going to be great.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Didn't really hear a whole lot from Portier.
Yeah.
Darren Williamson, obviously, he was going through drills fine. He looks healthy. That's good. That's what you really want to see from Portier and Williamson, is just being healthy. Yeah. That's what's plagued him their whole career. Jalen Brown did get a lot of praise, the transfer from LSU. This is a guy that, again, doesn't have a lot of experience on the field.
Right.
But he's a elite level talent at the receiver position, and that's someone that you can see in workouts. I think this was something that you saw when Azariah got here as a freshman early on, where like you watch him versus other DBs, and you're like, that guy just moves differently.
Yep.
He just doesn't look the same as some of the guys on the field. And now it's harder to stand out in this group because you have a lot more talent and depth in this group, but they just, the way they move, you can tell that Jalen Brown is going to be a special guy.
Oh yeah. I mean, just, I think I was telling you this in the pre-show as I was watching Malik Benson and Jalen Brown, the two things that stuck out to me, we've talked about this, right? Speed and power. But when it comes to those wide receivers and that wide receiver group, it's not just line up on a 40 and run 40 straight, like, you know, running a nine route, a go route speed. Like it is that, but it's the shifty speed, getting in and out of routes. They're not going, and they're so powerful, they're not going to be bullied by a defensive back off the line. They're not going to be easily knocked off their routes. If they're in the game, their mindsets are right, man, you're going to see a lot of pancaking happening by the wide receivers in the run game. I mean, not just speed and not just straight line speed, but shifty speed, and not just power, but like functional, as you said, functional power. Now, the other wide receiver that I was really curious to hear about, which we did not, which gives me a little angst about transfer portal candidate, is Vontrevious Jacobs. I mean, we're just now we'll see what the spring game, but man,
he stole the spring last year. Like he was the king of the spring last year, and then really didn't do a whole lot during the season.
Right.
But I will touch on one thing real quick. When you talk about blocking, that's where Hakeem's going to stand out. I mean, last year you saw a few occasions where he put dudes under the bench.
And yes,
that
was he did.
That Johnny Wilson did. So I like that as well. So, yeah, you hope Vontrevious is locked in and engaged, and maybe it's just there's so many bodies in the room. It's hard to find a way up there. But that's the other thing. When you talk about raising that talent floor, something we mentioned early in the show, I mean, you saw like Goldie Lawrence. That was a guy that we were excited about coming out of high school, transferred out, because eventually you just realize that it's not that,
recruited.
Right. It's not that they're not a good player and they don't have potential, but you just realize you're going to get passed up on the depth chart because you still have guys in that room like Destin Hill. You still have Ja'Kai Douglas in that room, two guys who both got high praise throughout the tour duty drills.
Yes, they did.
From Mike Norvell and these guys, where they've added that year. In Destin Hill's case, where, I mean, you got to keep in mind, he had not played football in 3 years when he came.
That's right.
He came in great shape, but this is like home workouts or working out at a facility. It wasn't with FSU. So now you have that extra year of development there. And so Ja'Kai Douglas, obviously, we know, just kind of steady Eddie, man. He's just, he's good. As long as he stays healthy, you know what you're going to get from him. He has been a leader of the group, which is nice to see, because there's not a lot of veterans in that room, and he's one that stands out there as well. So I think it's all good from the receivers. I think you have all the bodies and the talent, you know, kind of styles that you want. It's just seeing, once you get into pads, who's going to emerge as a leader of the groups. But, you know, we were talking about in pre-show, you could honestly probably put 8 wide receivers on the field and like every single one of them. So that is positive as well. Now, thinning the herd just a little bit here, let's go to tight end real quick, where obviously, we know Kyle Morlock had a pretty solid year last year, not really breakout. But again, you're coming from D3. Excuse me, D2. You're coming from D2 college shorter, and you just saw him kind of catch the speed of the game later in the season. Now you get that year development. He's obviously going to be the leader out of that room.
Yep.
But a name that has emerged is Jackson West.
Woo-hoo!
Not to be confused with the baseball player Jackson West. Who I was originally like, I didn't know he played baseball. Well, that's cool, but different Jackson West. But this is a guy that you really kind of wanted to see emerge. You needed somebody to emerge because they didn't take anybody in the portal. And I don't foresee them taking anybody in the portal, because you like who you got. You got Morlock that you can rely on. You just need that next guy to step up. And Jackson West is a guy that you heard from practice reports during his time at Florida State. He's got a mean streak about him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a guy who he blocks to the echo of the whistle.
Yes.
And so that's what you want to see. If he can stay healthy, he's added some mass. He looks like a big guy. I think he's going to be someone who can contribute as well. Of course, you have Brian Courtney, former quarterback, transferred over to tight end. This is a guy as well that I think probably can be contributing like a blocking role. We'll have to see what he does. And I know there's a freshman tight end that you're pretty high on as well, too,
which
is a guy that I like, and why I think they didn't go to the portal, because I think he can contribute right away.
Now, before I get to this guy, I absolutely agree, man. Jackson West, boy, I mean, 6'4", 244, you know, he's going to be a redshirt junior. I mean, he is everything I've read, all the beat writers, all the people who have access to the team, they're all singing his praises. Yep. He's a blocking tight end who is adding the catching feature. So if we can get somebody that can actually block and get, you know, because counter, you know, one of Mike Norvell's staple play, the tight end is a heavily feature in that that play call. So to be able this year, I mean, you notice how last year, you know, Biscuit, Marquise Douglas, he started getting less and less run as the year went on because he just was not that blocking tight end that they had hoped that he was going to become. You know, obviously Jaheim Bell was getting hurt and he's more receiver tight end. And so to be able to put the two and two together, I think with Jackson West and be that, like you said, that mean streak. Yeah, I think they're really excited about him. You know, Brian Courtney, you know, there's speculation out there that he won't remain a tight end for long, that he might move over to the defensive side of the ball. So we'll see. But the guy I'm really excited about is the freshman Landon Thomas. Let me just tell you, I was watching those videos and looking at pictures of him. That boy looked like he got four kids and a bowling league team. I mean, he's a grown man coming out of high school, 6'4", 245 pounds. I mean, my goodness. And so he needs time to learn the offense and stuff, but I would not be surprised you're seeing him in some special packages throughout the year. But again, this is just workouts. We'll see what he looks like in spring, but man, that dude is a hoss.
Yeah, the physicality is there. It's catching up with the game speed, switching from high school to college. But at one point, he was the number one rated tight end in the 2024 class. So the talent level is there, and obviously the size and everything is there too. And you bring up a good point about Marquise and Douglas. That was like he had all the size in the world. And to be honest, I got to give him credit, man. That he did some things a guy that size should not be able to do. Like that was the most athletic biscuit. It was like a light biscuit, a flaky biscuit. But you know, he's really good at producing on offense. But my one knock was always the blocking. It wasn't the greatest. His blocking great. It's like when you get that biscuit with the burnt bottom, and you're like, I'm just kind of stuck with it. So
I'll eat the top, but leave the bottom alone.
Exactly. So I think if you can get a Jackson West type of player that can do a little bit of both, because that was really the one knock that I had on the position last year.
Yeah.
Whereas I loved everybody, but you know, Kyle Morlock was a little light in the seat.
That's right.
Jaheim Bell, you didn't bring him in to block. Let's be honest.
You brought him in to be a receiver and running back.
And now he was a good blocker because he's a big dude, but just strength wise. But you really haven't had that real strong blocker since probably Nick O'Leary. And that's kind of what I'm hoping that they can get out of Jackson West.
What I was going to say is the great part about it is that with Jackson West, what you missed out, like you talked about with Nick O'Leary, is Jaheim Bell was great at blocking out wide. Right. You could use him out wide. But if you were going to bring him into the line to run those kind of plays that Mike Norvell likes to call, it was going to be harder. They're missing assignments. They're getting kind of bullied because now you're not just blocking wide receiver, or you're not just blocking DBs and linebackers out there. When you bring them on the line, you're blocking D tackles, D ends.
Yeah.
Right. And that requires a different type of blocking schematic and body and type. And so that's where Jackson West could prove to be very valuable to the team.
Right. I just like that you're seeing some names emerge out of the tight end room to possibly step up. Now, let's talk about the offensive line. Another position group that's pretty stacked here that we like, that you have a lot of guys. And, you know, coming up, I will let you guys know that next week we're going to put together kind of our spring preview, what we're watching for, position group battles that we're watching under a microscope. And for me, I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of the sauce. I think offensive line is one that originally I hadn't had penciled in. I thought this was kind of, you brought a lot of guys back, you lost a couple, but you had some young guys you were excited about. I just think right now it's just you got a lot of guys that you really like. Now, the name that stood out in tour of duty repeatedly was Richie Leonard from Florida. I mean, this guy is a veteran player. He's got a lot of size, and he moves really well for the size that he carries. He again, functional strength and functional speed. This is a guy that I think is going to find his way into a starting role. You also have the Alabama transfer, who, when you watch the drills, when you watch the tape, those two immediately stand out. I mean, you look at them and you're like,
graders.
Right. You're like, goodness gracious, who is that? And they were running a drill together early in the tape that I watched. And it's like, those guys are, like you said, massive road graders. So those are really two of the names that I think stood out. Ferguson, the transfer from Alabama, and Richie Leonard from Florida. Of course, you have the other guys that you know that you like. Maury Smith is a verbal leader in the group. Yeah. Obviously, you have Darius Washington coming back. I still even think you got like a Julian Armella that you like. He looked good in the drills. I mean, he's becoming a veteran guy. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get that offensive line type of body. It could be two to 3 years of development. Yeah. You just wonder when they're going to be able to find their way on the field.
That's some
of the more talented young prospects. But man, just I think when you look at Richie Leonard and the Ferguson kid from Alabama, you found you two that you really like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those two are huge. I mean, 320 pounds. Gosh, darn it, man. They're huge. And you saw how they were moving, which I think that blew me away when they were doing the circle drills. I was like, man, those are offensive linemen moving like that around a circle. Like,
right.
I would not want to line up across those boys.
No.
And so like that encourages you. Like, not only do you have bulk, you have, again, power, but you have offensive linemen with speed too as well. And that's going to matter, as you know, especially those guards that are pulling, you know, that guard tackle pull, you know. Again, I'm always going to try to bring this back to why these workouts matter, because they're showing you, as you talked about earlier, I thought such a great point, is this functionality of these workouts, because a lot of what they're doing is going to show up in the play calls that they're doing.
Right.
And so you see those offensive line using that agility, using that speed, where they're going to use a lot of that in the play calls of getting out on the pulling, right, on the pulling stuff. And so I'm excited about them. You know, another player that we're not talking about that got a shout out was the Andre Otto, which is a prospect that Florida State was really excited about out of high school. You know, he got a shout out as well too. So I'm really looking forward to seeing who of those kind of become the cream of the cream of that top five. And then here's the best part, I think, about this offensive lineman coming, this group of offensive linemen, Jesse, is, you know, last year you had, you had your starting five, but I would assume you did. You felt like there was a significant drop to that second level. I think this year, what you're going to see based on, and just the workouts, that drop has gotten much closer, meaning the talent of the line has gone up, but then the bottom has come up as well too. And so, you know, I'll be real interested to see what they look like with pads on, but excited about this group.
Yeah, I think you probably had six or seven guys last year that you felt good about. And then it was kind of some of them. Like I saw, I mean, no offense to the guy, but Bryson Estes in the thing. And I was like, I forgot he was on the team sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you just get to where now, like you said, you got eight or nine guys that you feel could start at any given point. Keiondre Jones is another guy that's coming back that has SEC experience. But like you said, you have offensive linemen that are big. They're not just, you know, blobs out there that just get in front of people but can't move, because we talked about this in prior episodes where with the counter they just struggled. They kind of almost had to abandon their money play because they couldn't pull fast enough. So if you have guys that have the size and you have the strength, and again, I mean, you have to say it because it's not always fun to say, because you kind of defend yourself against the SEC, but you see some of the lines that they have at places like Georgia and Alabama. And I think it was like maybe 21 or 22, one of their championship years, Georgia had like the biggest offensive line through college and the NFL by like 60 pounds. I mean, so you need those guys that are big. Yeah. That is a recipe for success, but you want guys that have functional speed and strength as well. And I think that's what you got. And I think Richie Leonard is probably going to be one of the portal steals that you got.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a big time player for you. So staying in the trenches, flipping over to the defensive side, speaking of big dudes, that's why we're staying in the trenches. Michael, one of the things that I'm most excited about, and one of these guys was one of your breakout candidates as well. So, I mean, tip of the cap to you, man. You're kicking my butt here. But I think that what excites me almost the most. Now, I think the defensive tackle group, I like some of the depth. I'm interested to see some of the 2 and 3 level guys. And I think they could use another guy out of the portal. Man, you got 650 pounds of man in the middle of that defensive line. When you look at Daryl Jackson, who got a shout out from Coach Storms, who got a shout out from Mike Norvell, who got a shout out from pretty much everybody who watched it. They said he is night and day from last year. That's something that Josh Storms commented on, where you look at his, not only his work ethic, his numbers in the weight room, his desire to be out there and working hard, his leadership from last year to this year, he's called it night and day. And so if you have him stepping up to that level, and, you know, again, sidebar, when you talk about the development of transfers coming from another program to now, he even tweeted out the other day, Daryl Jackson did, this was the best program. He was happy to be here. Again, you talk about a guy who makes night and day gains coming from another Power Five program. Kind of. Technically, they're a Power 5 program. They're not very competitive at a Power 5 level, Miami. but I just think that speaks to the level where Florida State's at right now. But this is a guy that, like you told me, and we were talking about in the pre-show, this is a guy that at times last year was dominant in practice already. If he is night and day to this year, that's scary. And then you pair him with Josh Farmer, a guy that we already talked about earlier, who has put on like 60 pounds, 70 pounds since he's been here and turned into an absolute freak of a defensive tackle. Man, that duo in the middle, if they stay healthy, is going to be scary. Now, it's just what you get out of the guys afterwards. And we talked That's earlier, right. just kind of comparing notes and what we had seen. We really like what we saw from Grady Kelly as yes. well. This is a guy who, when you see him, he kind of was in the front of a lot of drills. He kind of yep. led, like he's kind of quick. He's big. He's got size. And from some of the reports, he just enjoys the work, and that's yep. what I like. So yep. there's some guys that we're going to have to see, Daniel Lyons and AJ Sampson and all that we're going to have to see emerge once you get into spring practice with pads on. But I really do like your top two, top three, even top four defensive tackles. But, man, those two in the middle
My are gonna goodness.
Be dominant.
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, you got Josh Farmer at 311 pounds. You got Daryl Jackson at 334 pounds. We're not even talking about Sione Loaleha. Did you get it right?
Loaleha. I could be wrong, too.
Yeah, he's 270 now. He's probably going to – you're going to see some of your – maybe you're in there. And then you got Durjaye, who's 280 pounds. I mean – You yeah. talk about a line. I'm not even talking about Patrick Payton yet, right? I mean, you're talking about a rotation of a line that is going to be, my goodness. And again, yes, I know there are our enemies right now, but you look at the SEC, you look at the top half, the top, let's just say top two, because we've beaten LSU. But if you look at Alabama and Georgia, what changed the program for both of them was that they got dudes. Yeah. In the trenches on the defensive yep. line. And now you're just seeing that factory, whether transfer or high school development, you're seeing that factory for Florida State as well. And so those guys, yeah, they got shout outs by the strength coach. They got shout out by Mike Norvell. I mean, it's exciting. And of course, one of my breakout players for this year, Daryl Jackson. Like I said, there were times last year in the practice, because he couldn't play, stupid NCAA. There were times in practice where it was so bad. They had to be like, dude, like, can you calm down? Like, we're trying to like right. scout, you know, trying to run the scout team, and you're like blowing everything up. If he is, you know, much better than that, that is going to be a problem for the opposing players. And having him much better, having Josh Farmer much better, is just going to only open up opportunities for Pat Payton, for those defensive ends, for those linebackers to be able to wreak havoc on the defense side. So I'm really excited about this D-line. I think they're going to be really great. Now, I asked you about this in the pre-show about Grady Kelly. I was watching video of him. I was watching or looking at the pictures of him. I don't want to put this on him. There's too much pressure. But you know what they say about pressure? Pressure either make you or break you. I'm telling you, man. I'm just calling my shot now. We might have Braden Fisk part two in Grady Kelly. I'm just saying.
That's a big shot to call after this Senior Bowl and the combine and
yes,
all that.
I know.
Fisk owned it.
But, I know.
I mean, again, the potential is there. You can see through the drills that he is physically ready to produce, yep. and it's yep. just now can you see it on the field? But again,
correct.
You see what they did with Braden Fisk. Now, he was productive at Western Michigan, but again, that's a whole different level of football, and the way he you know was able to adjust to Power 5 football and still be dominant and productive. Man, if they could get that out of their quote unquote number three defensive tackle,
right.
then man, I mean, you're talking about some significant impact there.
And this is the reason why I say this is because when Braden Fisk came in, yes, he had production at Western Michigan, but no one was really talking about him until we started hearing his name leak in the spring practices. And yeah. then it was kind of like, yeah, he's kind of standing out and he's kind of this and that. And then, you know, you didn't really see a lot in the spring game. And then sure enough, we got into the season. And I mean, it was like almost every other week, his name was right. popping up over and again. So I'm just getting it started early for Grady Kelly. I'm going to be the first one out of all the media outlets out there. Plant the spear. You heard it here. Braden Fisk part two, Grady Kelly.
Carrying the banner. I like it. Fly the flag. So I hope so, man. I hope so. Because again, if you get that third defensive tackle, they're going to be able to use yep. all these guys that they have in the arsenal. Now, speaking of a loaded arsenal, let's talk about defensive end real quick. Oof. This is a position group where, I mean, you can just pretty much take a shot in the dark and you're going to hit a dude with Patrick Payton coming in. He's put on some size. He's already That's got right. length. Really, the one thing about Patrick Payton was he's great at batting balls down. He's been able to get some pressure numbers.
Right.
just really kind of needed to add a little bit of mass to be able to, you know, hold that edge and do a little bit better in the run. And I think now you're seeing that.
Yes.
He also knows this is kind of, this is his money year for
like, you're right.
Now he could come back for a senior year, but probably not.
Probably not.
So this is a guy that I think he's taken that next step from a physical standpoint. And I also think that from what you saw late in the season, he's going to take a step in leadership as well. Yeah. I think this is a guy who's ready to step up and lead that position group. Obviously, with Verse gone now, you're kind of looking for that leader there because you have a lot of new incoming pieces.
That's right.
Speaking of, you got Marvin Jones Jr. I mean, he carries more than a name.
You see him?
That's a bad dude. Like, he's got the leg tattoo going on. Like, that dude looks like you don't want to run into him on a dark alley
anywhere
when he's in a bad mood. So I think that's going to be another dominant guy.
Yeah.
Sione, this is one of my breakout players for the year. Again, I think this is a guy that you kind of know a little bit about what you get because he is so experienced, two-time all-conference type of player. Just kind of needs some refinement in maybe the skills and a little bit of development in the power department. But I think he's going to get that at Florida State. Look at the Durajai, like you talked about. Mm. That's another guy that is just massive. He's just kind of young and inexperienced, but he does have that experience at West Virginia. You love what you saw from him. You love to see the way he looks, the way he moves. Like you said, he's 280 pounds, but he carries it well. And so that's another guy that has immense power that I'm excited to see at the defensive end position. Now, there's some other guys. Byron Turner is still on the roster.
For now,
hopefully he stays. I mean, that position group is loaded. But I think across the board at defensive end, you even have – I mean, we still forget about Lamont Green Jr.
Yeah.
Who's a guy that got injured last year and was sidelined. Yeah. Very talented prospect. Probably maybe a year away. But again, I love what they have at the defensive end across the board. I think you're set at defensive end. I don't think you need to look for any other help there.
You got Aaron Hester, you got Perkins. So there's still a lot of development that's going to happen with that. But like you said, you have to be excited for what you currently have there. And we'll see how, of course, you know, the great separator are them pads. The pads are really going to show, you know, who's going to rise to the top.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, you have so many guys that could emerge that we just don't know about. And a lot of times we get focused on the transfers and stuff, but you forget about the Aaron Hesters of the world, you mentioned. Now, talking about linebacker, that's another position group where you have some guys you already knew about and some new incoming faces here. But DJ Lundy, I mean, the thing is, there's not much you can say about him physically. The guy has been a physical specimen basically his entire career here. Yep. I remember last year he got a shout out from Mike Norvell about the physical shape that he was in. Again, this year they said that he's even, I don't know how you can be in better shape. I mean, the guy is literally like, if you could chisel a linebacker out of stone, that's DJ Lundy. So I think it was, I will just say it's huge to get him back because it still kind of seems like you're searching for that next guy.
Yep.
Sean Murphy is a guy that comes in from Alabama, moves well, has good size, obviously recruited to play linebacker at Alabama. So I think you're excited about what you get there. I think that's one you kind of got to wait to see more of what you get in pads.
Yeah.
Justin Cryer is a guy they said has put on very useful size. So that's you may be able to get some contribution out of him this year as well. Blake Nicholson, a guy that moves really well, still kind of looks a little small. Still like, you know, maybe he needs to add a little bit more mass. But a guy that, again, I think he's got
my dark horse too.
Exactly. You know, he's a guy that's got that super high ceiling. Yeah. You just got to see if he can play where he's at or if he still needs to continue to add some mass.
Right.
But I think you like what you have out of some of the guys. Didn't really hear anything about Omar Graham Jr.
Didn't
hear a whole lot out of there. But I still think you have – I think it got 2 to 3 guys that you're seeing through tour duty that are physically ready to contribute at this level.
Yeah.
I still would not be sad at all if they went and got another linebacker out of the portal. One more. But
I think they need one more. I agree.
I think so too. But I think just physically being ready to contribute, you got 2 or 3 guys that you like, and you saw that in tour duty.
Right, right. Yeah, you did. You really did. And I you know, this linebacker group is probably, if there is a, I don't want to call it a weak link, but if there is a group that you're still just not entirely sure about, it's this group. It has been this group for a while now.
Yep.
And yes, they did get Sean Murphy out of the portal from Alabama. So you're, but, you know, again, he didn't have a lot of productivity at Alabama. And he's a redshirt sophomore, I believe, what he's coming in as well. So you're not sure what you're going to get with him. Obviously, with Blake Nichols, again, he's a great cover linebacker. you know, I shouldn't say great. He's been a really good cover linebacker when he's been in the game, but where he looked out of place, out of function was against the run. He just did not cover the run really well. And it's concerning that this is the second year of tour duty for him, and he still does not look, you know, like a linebacker that's going to be able to eat up space in the run game. So that's where that extra linebacker going to get one more out of the portal might be helpful. Now, getting one more out of the portal might mean somebody is end up in the transfer portal, you take that risk because you really, you know, linebackers is, I think I've said this before to you, Jesse, linebackers is becoming the running backs of like how dispensable they are.
Right.
Like you don't, you know, it's not a major part. If you have a really good defensive line and you have a really good secondary, your linebackers almost become a little bit obsolete. And so, but you want to at least have functional linebackers. You know, that's what I loved about the team later on the season of last season. You know, you had Tatum Bethune, you had Kalen DeLoach, and they were functional. They got the job done. You just don't want them to hurt you like they have in years past.
Right. Most of the modern defenses are 4-2-5. That's what
correct
Fuller likes to run. I think with linebacker, it's like if you have really good linebacker play, it puts you, your defense really at a high advantage. If you have okay linebacker play, it doesn't necessarily kill you when you run a 4-2-5 defense.
Correct.
And I do like that when you talk about run fits. DJ Lundy, I think per PFF, was the highest graded linebacker against the run in all of college football last year. Yeah. So you have a legitimate run stopper. It's just how are they going to cover? And that's correct what I'm thinking that you're hoping you're going to get out of Sean Murphy,
correct,
maybe Justin Cryer, or whatever else they can find in the portal. Now, speaking of covering in the pass game, let's move on back to the secondary. Now, we'll start with kind of some of the more known pieces, and that's at corner.
Yeah.
Obviously, Azaria Thomas looking to make a big step this year. This is a guy that we feel like he was one of my breakout players. Mm. I think he has kind of been on the edge of this, stepping into that starting role, but you just had Renardo Green, who was kind of locked down that spot last year. It looks like that position is prime for him to step into. This is a guy that, again, really highly talented player coming out of high school, has repeatedly flashed on the field and at a college level. You can say all the things about Azaria Thomas. There's not really a whole lot of question there. You also have Fentrell Cypress. He's always been a quiet performer.
Yeah,
You don't really hear a lot about him, but he's solid when the lights come on the field. To be honest, remember last year when he came in, there was kind of like he took a little while to adjust.
People
were a little bit worried, but then when the lights come on, he performs well. You kind of know what you have there. I think really when you talk about corners, and I'll jump to nickel real quick because that kind of is included in that group. Greedy Vance.
Yeah.
I think this is the guy that got overlooked when you brought in Earl Little, where you were like, okay, this is the guy. This is the nickel. He's going to take that Jerrion Jones role. I don't think Greedy Vance is going to take that line down. I think he's going to put up a fight for that spot. I love his physicality. I love a guy, you know, he's always been a very physical player.
Yeah.
You know, borderline like, hey, calm down now. We don't need no flags. But, you know, he'll get up all in your grill. But I do like what you have here because Earl Little, I think with him, he's still young, but he is extremely, extremely talented, extremely high ceiling guy. If he's not ready right now, and I feel like he probably is, this is another guy that you're going to have to wait to see in pads. Just talking about from a physical perspective, I like what you have at all those positions.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, there's not a whole lot of surprises there. But one of the most encouraging things to come out of tour of duty is the young guys.
Yes.
I think that you've heard a lot of talk about that, in particular, Charles Lester.
That
is exciting because this is a guy where you get that young crop coming in that's pushing the older guys. That competitive depth, again, this is a guy that, you know, they said that not only was he doing well in drills, he's in good physical condition, he also stepped into a leadership role. He was a guy who was in front of the line, coaching up players or at least cheering them on to get through drills and whatnot. That's really encouraging to see a guy who comes in as a really highly rated prospect. You know, sometimes you worry about other highly rated prospects that we didn't land. That's an example of kind of being real arrogant. You know what I mean? Coming in thinking they're the cat's pajamas. But then you like to see work ethic from a guy like that.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to be special. And I think that's another guy that maybe not in a starting role, but will find his way on the field. And I just like what you've seen in tour duty. So to me, your corners, before we move back to safety, I like what you've seen so far from that crop of guys.
I really do too. Yeah, I love the report that we're getting about Charles Lester. I mean, this is a kid who has said from the very beginning that Florida State was his place. Even when he was, you know, supposedly flirting with Colorado, Colorado never had a chance. He was coming to Florida State always. And this dude has been a man of his word. He got here. He participated in Orange Bowl practices. And then now the tour duty, he has taken it seriously. And as a freshman, he's already being highlighted as a potential leader. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Azare Thomas, listen, every time I see this boy, I shouldn't even call him a boy. Every time I see this man, I swear I get flashbacks to Jalen Ramsey. I swear to you. I really do. On the field and now even in tour duty, I'm like, gosh, this kid, not to put the pressure on him again, but right, man, just so much just reminds me of Jalen. You know, just that, you know, he's a quieter version of Jalen.
Yeah, much quieter.
Much quieter. Not as brash, not as clapping your face that he did against Miami. I still love that moment. Yeah. But just that skill set, that dog in him, that, you know, he's going to get up in your grill. He's going to fight you for the route. He's going to beat you on that route. He's going to try to disrupt you. He's going to make plays. I mean, you saw it. Yeah. So he's got the skill. He's got there. And just to see his body continue to grow, really excited about that. And so, yeah, this DB group, man, they're going to be good. You know, you talked about, you know, one person we didn't hear a lot of was about Conrad Hussey. And so I'm curious.
Hold up. Now that's my dark horse pick. Now
I know. But I'm curious to see if maybe he just, you know, he's just kind of not saying he performed bad during tour of duty, but just, you know, you didn't hear much about him. And he's been someone that, yes, you're dark horse pick, but I think most Florida State fans are just really excited to see what he can do. So you're just hoping that maybe more of the spring, he'll start to kind of, you know, flash more for the coaches and stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe you even look at Azare Thomas kind of almost like an Asante Samuel guy.
That's a good one.
Who just really didn't say a whole lot. Just let us play, talk on the field. And I think, when you bring up Conrad Hussey, we can go ahead and move back to safety. I didn't hear a lot about you. Didn't hear a lot, but you know, sometimes no news is good news.
That's
sometimes
true.
You just blend in and you do your thing. You know, I still think this is a very high level player, and that's why one of the position groups that I'm most interested to see during spring, and again, that episode will be next week, is the safety position. Yeah. You have Shaheem Brown. That is pretty much locked down.
Yep.
Shaheem Brown was my breakout player on defense last year.
Yeah.
And I think it was, he had a solid year, not a breakout year,
right,
but he was solid on the back end for you. This is a guy that comes in very experienced now, has a year as kind of like a co-starter and then a full year as a starter. You also have a guy that comes in, they said, was one of the main vocal leaders from the defense, from that upperclassman group. And so that's good to see as well, because, you know, last year it was really Akeem Dent who was the leader that group. And now that he's gone, you need someone to step into that role, because I think where Akeem Dent was so crucial to that secondary, I mean, he was good on the field, of course, but I think it was just kind of that quarterback in the defense getting everybody lined up where they need to be. And so I think you need Shaheem Brown to step into that role. You need him to be the quarterback of the secondary this year.
Right.
And I think he's ready for that. It's the other safety position that's kind of a question mark right now that we're going to wait to see break out. Now, you have a lot of guys, and like, you didn't hear anything too much about Devontae Brown either.
Right,
that's another name that's competing at safety that you didn't hear about. So, again, maybe no news is good news, but you also have KJ Kirkland's a guy that his name's been brought up multiple times throughout tour duty as a guy that they say he's almost like a small linebacker in a way, because he's just got so much size, a talented guy, a track guy coming out of high school. You know, this is a guy that could very well compete for and push for that starting job. I mean, he's only in year two and you have some more experienced guys, but I think that's a guy's name who has emerged as well that you could seriously look at that has made some noise in tour duty. Now, again, this all depends on what they do in pads, but
that's right.
I at least think that there has been some talk about the concerns with depth at safety, and that's something that we kind of had last year too. But I think you have, if Shaheem can lock down that one spot and stay healthy, you have three or four guys that can compete for that other spot.
Yeah.
Right. And I just think that you're seeing the again, these are just non-padded workouts, but I think what you're seeing from the development from the young guys, we kind of forget a little bit about some of the pieces they brought in from 2023. I think KJ Kirkland can be one of those pieces that compete for a starting spot just based on his physical maturity.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited from what I've heard and seen of KJ Kirkland so far. If he continues to develop, he definitely will be, you know, one of those top one or two players to be considered for the role. I think we'll be able to know more as we get towards, you know, towards the end of spring and what we see in practice. What'll be really telling is if we start hearing about potential safety transfer candidates. That's what'll tell us really if they have any trust in that other safety position. I think Shaheem is going to lock down. I mean, he started pretty much most of the last season anyways. I think he's going to lock down that other safety position there. And then I think you're just trying to figure out of the other safeties, is it Kirkland? Just blanking on the names now. But, it, you know, which of those safeties are going to step up to take that role, take that spot? Or if they don't go after a transfer, is it a safety by committee? Right. We've seen that before as well. Well, they'll shift in, you know, depending on the package, depending on the play call, you know, they'll bring in a safety here or a safety there. So, you know, we'll be able to see more. But yeah, I love that Kirkland was able to stand out during tour duty. I mean, he looks fast. He looked much bigger. You know, his mentals look great. Looked like he was tuned in. He was running in the front with those players. And so excited to see what he can do.
Yeah. Even talking about blanking on some names. What about one of your breakout player picks, Kevin Knowles? That was
yes.
I was trying to think. I was like, there's another guy at safety that we're waiting on. You didn't really hear a whole lot about him, but sometimes no news is good news. You know, there, like we talked about, when you get this many athletes in a room together, it's hard to stand out.
So hard, yeah.
Right. So I think you're just kind of like picking out of a purebred litter. You're getting to that upper echelon of athlete now. So it does get a little bit harder to stand out, but you just really like what they have coming out of tour duty going into the spring. And this is where we're going to find out a lot about a roster that's full of talent.
That's right.
That has a lot of guys that could emerge as starters and contributors. You just don't know what you got till you get them in pads. I think more than anything coming out of tour duty, you just look at this roster. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they're physically developed and ready to contribute. And now you take all that and you roll it into spring.
Yeah.
And so now you see you got a week off for spring break, and then they come back. I believe it was March the 19th where they get started on spring practice. So we'll have to, you know, kind of read the tea leaves of what comes out there and who kind of starts emerging, because again, that's where you really start to develop your roles. That's where you really start to find out who's going to be what at what position group. But I think so far the returns have been very good, very positive. Mike Norvell has talked about repeatedly, and you hear this from the beat writers too, when you just watch the players and how they operate in these drills, this team doesn't need motivation.
No,
you know, they don't need motivation. One of the phrases that I've heard that have come out that Mike Norvell has used, some of the players have used, is leave no doubt. And so that kind of tells you what they might be looking to do this year. They might be looking to create some damage and really hammer home the point. They may not want any of those. Well, they didn't win this convincingly. I think they're just really going to kind of let it all hang out this year. And of course you do that every year. Every team does that. But again, I just think it's this preseason. Mike Norvell said this in the press conference. He said this on the booster tours, where this is one of the best preseasons that he's had so far as a football coach. And so he's been around some talented guys. And so I think he knows what he has. I think he knows he's got some special players on this roster. It's just now that Coach Storms has done his job, and of course you still got summer workouts, but now he hands them over.
Right.
You know, he has molded the clay physically, and now you see what they can do with them in pads and getting kind of filling out the depth chart and the roles that each player are going to play. So I can't wait to see spring get started. Again, when you watch these guys in tour duty and whatnot, you realize we got some dudes.
Yes, we do.
Now it's time to see what they can do with them. And man, I'm super excited to see spring get underway.
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be incredible. I'm excited to see, you know, what players emerges, you know, position. There's several position battles that are happening. I mean, across the entire team. These are not just locks just because we've got these, you know, higher ceiling transfer in. There are going to be position battles up and down the roster. And I'm excited to see who steps out, who emerges and says, no, this is my role. You're going to step over my dead body before you get that more playing time than I am. Because that's what you want, man. You want killers. You want dogs who are like, you're going to have to do, you're going to have to do so much to beat me because I'm coming every single day. And we're seeing that happening each and every year of this climb. And so I'm excited to see who steps out, who shows himself ready. And I'm also curious to see who starts to tell us that they may not be here next season.
Yeah.
Because they're going to enter that spring portal. You'll start to see that as well. You start by the practice reports that are coming out, by the people who are able to have access and cover the team, you know, and we'll try to do our best to bring as much as we can as we try to hear and see for ourselves exactly what spring 2024 is going to look like for Florida State football.
Exactly, man. I'm excited. You got a week off, spring break. Go enjoy the beach. Go enjoy some nice weather. Do some yard work, something like that. While you keep
flying with
you, just waiting on that spring practice to get here. Because
that's,
man,
right.
Once you hit summer, you're like, come on already. I'm ready for fall. I'm so ready for fall. But I think at the same time, man, once you hit spring camp, it really starts to paint the picture of you're going to have for 2024. Now, of course, there's that other portal season lurking out there as well.
That's right.
Which you could, like you mentioned, you could have some come and you could have some go out of that.
That's right.
But you really start to get an idea of what this team's going to look like next year. And so I can't wait to get into it. We'll obviously be bringing you guys coverage all throughout spring. Make sure to check back next week when we start getting into some pre-spring things. What are we watching for? What is going to be the big takeaway? What are some of these position group battles that we're looking at? It's just, you got dudes to work with now.
And so
we're gonna break all that down for you next week. So make sure you check back in for that. Also, make sure you check out Alumni Hall FSU and support those that support us. And we will check back in with you guys on the next one. So as always, that's going to be it for us today. Thanks for tuning in and go Noles.
Go Noles.